This is Taylor McClure from CIDI 99.1 FM, and you are tuning in to Township's Daily News Bits. I'm here with Melanie Lelièvre, Executive Director of Appalachian Corridor, a nonprofit organization, who's going to be speaking to us about their 20th anniversary, which they are marking this year. Thank you so much, Melanie, for being here with us today. I really appreciate it.
Well, I thank you. Thank you for your interest in our organization.
Can you please start off by telling us a little bit about the history of Appalachian Corridor and how the organization got started all these years ago?
Yeah, so it really started in the year 2000. So there were already a couple of conservation organizations that were starting to be in place, like with the Rutter Valley Land Trust, Mount Pinnacle Land Trust, Brome Lake Foundation, and Parc d'Environnement Naturel de Sutton, quite in some way like struggling to make like big conservation projects. They didn't have any employees or like the expertise on ecological assessment and cartography and all that. And in the same time, the World Wildlife Foundation launched a report, an important report highlighting the crucial importance of the Sutton Range. So things were starting to move in conservation, and this report was available saying that the Sutton Range was very critical for ecosystem in the region. And then three women with like leadership, with a vision, got together and they met. So it was Francine Aune, Terry Monahan, and Louise Graton. So they were looking at what was happening and with this scientific report, and they decided to put in place this organization with a very large landscape conservation strategy, and the objective was to link together the Sutton Range with the offered national park. Mm-hmm. So to link those large forest ecosystem together. So it was really like innovative when it started, but it worked, and they gathered people around this vision and this project, and the organization was officially launched in 2002, so 20 years ago.
Wow. Can you speak to us a little bit about Appalachian Corridor's mission and how it has evolved over time, or how it has remained the same over the last two decades?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, in reality, the mission didn't evolve that much. And in some ways, it's a very good news. It means that the vision was good at that time, and it's effective and still very pertinent. Our mission is really to protect land. So the area, it's mainly like 95% of the territory is on private land, and the nature is exceptional. The biodiversity is very rich. We have very large forest cores. We have wide-ranging mammals, a lot of plant species that are at risk. So the ecosystem, the landscape is exceptional, and so our mission is really to protect those very high ecological value property in perpetuity. And for sure, like some of our services or some of our activities evolved over time. Like when we started, we didn't have the ownership of the properties. So it was everything was concluded with our local conservation organization or with NCC. But in some areas that are very important in the territory, some groups were not active in those areas. So we decided to take the leadership of some projects. So this is different than what we had at the beginning. And the more it goes, the more we're working in collaboration with municipalities and cities, because even though we're having very nice results in conservation, in like creating protected areas in perpetuity, still most of the land will not be protected forever. And if we work closely with municipalities to enhance and have better bylaws that take into account the ecosystem, the importance of the ecology, you know, like very critical specific area. So we'll have that way a better results in protecting the biodiversity.
Yeah, and you were mentioning how you're working alongside municipalities, but for people who don't know much about your organization, I know a lot about it because I've been following you for a while, but you work with landowners here in the Eastern Townships to, like you said, and you work on private land as well.
Yeah, so we, like, the core of our activity, of our mission, is to create protected areas on private land. So since the territory, the region, is mainly owned by individuals, so we go to them and we have this discussion with them, and we promote, like, the different tools we have in conservation, like with servitude, with nature reserve status, donation of land, sale of land, or bargain sale. So there are many, like, there are different options. And so we meet with landowners where it's important to protect the land, and we give to them, like, information about their options and what they could gain from this process. And what is fantastic is that most of the people we're talking with, they're interested. Because in the region, like, people are really attached, and they love their forest, they love the landscape, and it's vibrant in the community, this attachment to nature and to forest. So when we have this discussion with the landowners, we're putting a little seed in the dirt, in the soil, and, you know, over time, this seed might come up and become a concrete project. And sometimes it's the landowners, the families that contact us, they say, hey, we've got your newsletter, or we have a neighbor that made a conservation project, I'm interested and I want to do this, or sometimes we contact them. But over, like, since we've started, since the inception of Appalachian Corridor, every year, we're negotiating and discussing with at least 30 to 35 different landowners that are interested in protecting their properties. So this is amazing.
Yeah, it shows how much people are interested in playing their part in this conservation.
Yeah, and, like, over time, you know, like, 10 years ago, we were, like, a little bit concerned that maybe we've already reached with most of the landowners that were interested in conservation. But the more it goes, the more we have families and landowners that contact us because they have an interest in those projects. And, you know, with the pandemic and the last years, people were even more connected to nature, since there were not so many things to do, and people got into their forest, their land, they went for hiking, and there's a lot of pressure as well in the area. A lot of person from Montreal wanted to leave Montreal and got a nice cottage in our beautiful region. So people got more aware of the importance of nature. And in the same time, there's more development, more housing projects that are ongoing. So people are even contacting more and more since the two last years to make projects. And
can you please highlight, Melanie, some key milestones for the organization over the last 20 years that really, you know, that really stuck with the group?
Well, there's a lot of things I could mention, but I'll try to be concise. And in 2003, we had our first, like, very big funding from private foundation. We opened our office and we got staff that came in. So this is, like, it really started actively in 2003. In 2004, we've helped NCC to purchase, and it was that big project of buying the Domtar land, which became the Réserve Naturelle des Montagnes Vertes. So that was the largest conservation transaction on private land that ever happened in Quebec at that time.
Oh, wow.
This is a really turning point. In 2008, we were, I think, we really were the first organization ever to start science on natural corridors, on ecological corridors in Quebec. So we started to make like GIS analysis where those corridors are. That was a turning point because all this science became really important. A lot of people are still putting in place such type of science that we've developed. In 2011, we reached the 10,000 hectare protected forever. In 2013, we concluded a very large conservation project with a municipality. It was the first nature reserve owned by a municipality, so it was with the Canton de Shefford, and that was really exciting because it was our first big conservation project with the municipality, and it was close to 250 hectares. So that was great, and it gave impulsion to other municipalities to make them as well, to make themselves a conservation project as well. In 2015, we launched our first major campaign, and we successfully reached our objective at the end of 2019. So it took us 4 years, but we raised $1 million in the community. So it really made a difference for our financial stability and complete the funding of big projects. In 2016, we were involved in the mobilization to protect the Mount Hereford, which was part of the Quebec-New Hampshire interconnection file. So Hydro-Québec was planning to have a electricity line, transportation line that was going through a protected area. So we really were the one who mobilized all the community and other groups to make Hydro-Québec change their plans. And in 2019, we've achieved a very nice success in conservation with the protection of Mount Foster. So that project, that housing development was in a cul-de-sac for like 7 years, and the citizens were torn with this project. Some were against, some were in favor of, and it was very, very difficult. It took 2 years, and at the end of 2019, we were able to reach an agreement and make fundraising in the region, and we concluded the protection of 215 hectares on that property for a total value of $2 million with the help of the community. So that was a very nice success, and we're just about to launch the trails on this property by the end of the summer or early September. So we'll invite the community to come and celebrate this achievement.
Oh, wow, great.
Yeah, and I'll finish with very nice project that we've concluded last year. So it's the protection of the Cartoon-Simard land. It's in Eastman. It's 442 hectares. So it was one of the largest transactions in the year 21 overall in Quebec. We are really proud of the progress that was made in conservation in the last those last 20 years with our partners and local groups and with landowners and all the support of the community.
As you should be. This is actually a really great introduction into my next question for you. 20 years later, do you have any new projects or partnerships in the works as of right now?
Maybe I can highlight, over the last 20 years, we never had a partnership with Ducks Unlimited Canada. They were not that active in the region, and they're based in Quebec, but last year we got together to discuss, and we've made a joint venture, and we've protected two very critical properties in the recent months, like in March and April. We're really happy about that because it's a large organization and things going to help us move forward in conservation in wetlands in the coming years. And as well, just say a couple of words on the project we have on Highway 10. As most of the people probably understand that the Highway 10 is kind of a barrier on the territory. So when we look at a map on the Green Mountain area, which spans from southern Vermont up to Offord National Park, there is the Highway 10 that goes through. And it's a barrier for some species. There's a lot of accidents with large mammals, so over more than 300 collisions every year with vehicle and fauna. For the last 7 years, we've really worked intensely in building all the sciences and having a clear understanding of where are the areas on that portion of Highway 10, which is the more crucial for connectivity. So we've put together a very detailed report that shows all that details, all the structures and actions that should be put in place, and wildlife passages and fences that should be put in place on Highway 10 from, let's say, the area about from Bromont to Magog. So there are many, many benefits of this project. So we'll try to put together Ministry of Transportation, of Wildlife, and then Ministry of Environment to adopt this vision and to make a plan to invest in the coming 10 years to make the Highway 10 more safe for wildlife.
How is the organization highlighting its anniversary? Do you have any special events or any celebrations to highlight your 20 years?
Yeah, well, we wanted it to be spread over time in the year. So we're launching about every 2 months a nice article that makes the history, explain who we were, who we are, with whom we're working with, and the milestones of the last 20 years, and so on. And we're trying to have a couple of activities to celebrate this 20-year anniversary. We've adopted a new logo, and we'll make a nice event on Mount Foster. So the date is not confirmed, but it's going to be early September or mid-September. So we're going to gather all the community, the donors, all the parties involved to celebrate 20 years of conservation, protection of Mount Foster, and the launching of the trail. For us, it's a way to give back to the community. The celebration is coming soon.
Okay. And one of my last questions for you is, now that you've reached these 20 years, what sort of impact do you hope to have in the next 20 years?
So for sure, we want to continue to protect land at the same pace of what we've done. So the more it goes, the more it's going to be difficult, because there's less and less very large properties left in the region. Ultimately, what we want is we want a large corridor of protected areas for the region. With the ecological crisis and the climate change crisis and the loss of natural habitats, the more it goes, the more people will realize how much those habitats, those forests are precious and so important. I think in 20 years, what we really want is that people realize how much local conservation group and NCC, we want people to realize how much values we will have created by protecting those areas. And we want this to still be very present in the community, so have this culture of conservation present in the region.
Well, thank you so much, Melanie, for speaking to us. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Townships Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.